Griffin.
Yes, my lord.
What ville was this man from?
Blackstone, on the Island of Flowers.
Blackstone? What a useless place. Only good for slaves and maybe some meat animals. Well, triple the amount of their tribute for black powder over the next 2 seasons. If they claim to be unable to pay, fine. Tell them they're cut off for 5 seasons. When the ville falls, I'm sure the new baron will be much more accommodating.
At once, my lord. And the body?
Throw it to the dogs.
As you order, sir.
Guards!
2 sack men stepped forward, took the arms of the dead slave, and hauled him away. In their wake, slaves arrived with wet rags and started to wash away the blood.
I'm so pleased you were not hurt, Baron Kinnison, and if I may take this opportunity, Tiger Sharkville is being constantly attacked by jungle muties, and we are desperate for more black powder. Now, we can offer you 3 ships of grain and fruit instead of the usual 2, but not until next year, so I was wondering...
Silence! Your audience is over. Come back tomorrow.
The group daintily stepped over the sticky trail on the floor on their retreat. When the last of them had departed, a sergeant bolted the door shut.
Whiny bastards. Lieutenant, come with me.
The baron waddled across the room with tiny scraps of food falling off his stained clothing.
Yes, sir.
Marching very slowly alongside his baron, Brandon followed the sweating fat man into a smaller room. Here the walls were lined with long blasters, hand cannons, and even rapid fires. Covering an entire wall was a detailed painting of the Marshall Islands, every known landmass, island, and atoll clearly noted. Some sections of the wall map were raised higher than others, layers upon layers of corrections lifting the features until it was almost a contoured relief map. Casting a glance to his left, Kinnison frowned at a framed map of the archipelago, the ancient paper brittle and yellow. The two bore so little in common that the pre-dark map was almost useless. How many new islands had risen during the nuke storm of Skydark, while so many more disappeared beneath the boiling waters? There were no indications of any active volcanoes on the old map, yet now the volcanoes were the secret source of his power. The only known source of sulfur in the entire chain of islands.
My world.
The whole world.
Brandon, I have 4 wars going on in the western and southern islands, and the sea muties are rising early to the east. We lose those villes, and it's no beef and fewer slaves until we find some more fools to go live there again.
We need more flash, and aside from Cold Harbor, the only other source is Forbidden Island.
The baron stared at the small crescent island to the south of his domain. On the old map, it bore another name, but that meant nothing to him here in the present.
You volunteering to go there?
Fuck no, sir.
The baron allowed the discourtesy because he felt the same way. Nothing imaginable could ever force him to set foot on that rad blasted hellhole.
Didn't think you were that stoop. I have enough flash for a while, but the mills must have more, and soon.
Can't risk using any of our own stores. It would weaken our defenses too much, and the pirates are getting bolder every day. At least we don't have any muties to fight on our home island.
Not since my father slaughtered them 20 seasons ago. Those hairless giants with forked tongues. I don't like this. Cold Harbor loses a ship just when we need their flash the most. This could be a trick of some kind. Weaken us, catch us off guard.
We could send a single ship to Cold Harbor and report to their baron that we found the wreckage of their cargo ship. We chilled the pirates who sank it and now want our original shipment, plus a bounty for the pirates.
They can't refuse that. Yes, very good. We'll go with your plan.
I'll need reinforcements, in case they refuse to pay or outright resist. 1 ship, far from home, and some cold hearts could night creep us and steal the entire vessel.
Refuse? Refuse one of my sect men?
Or they could plead poverty.
The baron was becoming more and more violent. Perhaps the rot was spreading to his brain. That wouldn't be good.
You know, the same old stories. That shipment was all they could spare, blah, blah, starving children, boo-hoo. Might even be true, but what do we care? Pay or die, that's the law.
Blasted people might even be working with the pirates. They have a base somewhere. Why not Cold Harbor?
That's true, sir.
All right. Take a couple of the windjammers and... No. Can't take any chances. Better take an armada, 10 of the PT boats, fully armed, with rapid fires, torps, and firebirds. Hide the fleet on a nearby island, and then go in alone to ask about the tribute. If they apologize and pay, take the flash and come home.
If not?
Then level the veil and put everybody in chains to work the mines. Afterward, ace the men and bring me the rest alive. The brats will become slaves, and I'll choose a new bitch to fuck. Maybe I'll finally get a son if I seed enough women.
Hiding his emotions, Brandon was pleased. The sec men would have the pick of the sluts once the fat bastard was exhausted, and the women would do anything the sec men asked, anything at all, to avoid the terrible bed of the Baron.
I'll leave on the morning tide. I'd like to sleep in a bed that doesn't move for one night.
Acceptable. But I want you to leave before dawn, and return by the end of the week. I need that flash, Lieutenant. Get it, and do not fail me.
Have I ever, sir?
Not yet. Which is why you're still alive.
With Mildred and Christy setting up sickbay, and Dean helping to raise the sails, J.B. stayed on the Constellation to cover Ryan, Jack, and Doc with his Uzi while they retrieved the companions' backpacks. The three men on shore then did a wreck of the Ville with some of the sailors from the ship to make sure that none of the slavers was still alive. None had survived the wrath of the women prisoners. Body parts lay strewn along the beach, the crabs scuttling among the dead, dragging everything they could into the shoals. High above, hungry scream wings circled the Ville, waiting until it was clear for them to join the bloody feast. Suddenly, there was a motion in the sky, and the scream wings were gone, clutched in the beaks of golden condors. Then, they were gone from sight. Knowing the women would sooner believe Doc before the young sailors, Ryan had Doc invite the females on board as crew. Cowering in the empty houses, most of them laughed wildly at the suggestion and declared their intention to stay and make the deserted Ville their own. The few who decided to board ship did so hesitantly, as if afraid to disobey. Once they were back on board the Constellation, Captain Jones had O'Malley free the sea anchor and started to shout incomprehensible orders to Daniels at the wheel. The crew dashed about, pulling on ropes and climbing like monkeys in the complex rigging above. Soon, the great ship was moving away from the shore, then past the breakers and into the open sea. Now the mainsail was raised, the yards of patched canvas billowing taut as it caught the wind and the ship lurched forward with renewed speed, the waves breaking into white spray across her bow. Standing at the portside gunwale, the three men watched as the lush tropical island receded. Now the second island with its vine-covered mesa rose into view above the forests of the lower woody atoll.
Any sign of the gateway?
None. Nor the bridge.
Good. That is not fine.
Hey!
Christy emerged from the other side of the ship. They waited as she rushed across the deck to rejoin the companions.
It just occurred to me, if that short circuit ran through the whole building, it might have blown the comps.
Don't know much about comps, but we have to hope for the best. Maybe it just affected the fuses. And there's usually a full replacement set underneath the console. The comps will be fine.
Phew.
Standing motionless at the gunwale, J.B. didn't join the conversation, concentrating on his work. Carefully aligning the half-mirror of the mini-sextant, he tried to focus on the tropical sun hidden in the roiling storm clouds overhead.
Got the location down yet, J.B.?
Lowering the pre-dark device, J.B. used a pencil stub to carefully write some figures on a small scrap of paper that he slipped into the sweatband of his fedora.
Shot the sun twice just to make sure. I could find this place in a hurricane.
Hope so. That trail we cut is already growing back. Stay away too long, and we'll have to level the whole bastard jungle to find it again.
Accurate to 100 feet. I'll get us back, no problem.
Good.
It is odd how often I encounter this ship in my travels.
What mean? Been here before?
Oh, yes, indeed, my friend. Emily and I once took a summer vacation on this very ship. Or was that when Ryan and I escaped from that burning redoubt?
Ryan snapped his head toward the man. They'd never escaped from any redoubt in a windjammer, just the two of them. Doc had to have slipped into his madness again.
Sure is warm.
Oh, so cold. Actually, my dear Ryan, it is rather warm. But from the angle of the sun at its azimuth, I would estimate it is summer here at the equator. Do you not agree?
Uh-huh.
Better check those cannon now.
Let's go.
They headed for the nearest hatchway leading below decks. Far across the damaged deck, Captain Jones climbed down from the quarter deck and addressed the waiting group of nervous women.
All right, ladies. The captain's dead, so I'm in charge now. The starboard barrel has the ship's articles. Cut a finger, put a thumbprint on a clean page, and your crew. Get me? Now move smartly. There's a lot to do.
Several of the women were obviously confused, as there were barrels on either side of the short man.
It's a test. Port has four letters, same as the word left.
So starboard is right? That's easy.
Captain Jones merely harumphed as the women went to the correct barrel and helped each other cut fingers and seal their prints in the massive tome.
Done. What's next, Skipper?
No. Get out of those clothes.
Oh, God, no, please!
Blood of the sea, you stupid bitches! Think I had you mark the book for a laugh? You idiots who chop you to chum and feed you to the fishes. I meant to go to the aft quarters and put on some pants. Can't climb rigging in a skirt, can you? And trim that long hair, or tie it off. Get that caught in a pulley, and it'll come out by the roots. Hurts like a mutie's kiss, too.
A busty teenager, Susie, stepped forward, a barely closed wound crossing a face that had once been beautiful. She would carry the scar for life with no way to ever hide it from sight. She'd bitten the slaver when he forced himself into her mouth. She drew blood, but hadn't removed his cock. The furious man had slashed her face and tied her to the table to take his revenge. But in the fighting, she had found the man and castrated him. He died screaming, and long after he was chilled, she'd continued stabbing and cutting, all the while muttering curses.
Captain, sir, where is the... where do we go?
Down this hatch and all the way in the back. There'll be a storage room there for pieces of canvas to patch the sails. Thank you for the privacy, Captain.
Uh-huh.
Jones studied the big blonde who'd just spoken. Her knuckles were raw from a fist fight, a tooth was missing where her lip was split, and bruises bloomed everywhere she showed skin. It had to have taken six of them to haul her to the table, he bet.
And stop at the table. Each take a knife and blaster from the quartermaster. No swabs go unarmed on the Connie.
We get weapons?
Don't be stooped, Susie. We're crew now. Step lively there.
The women moved over to an array of blasters and looked. The quartermaster in attendance looked on mockingly. Susie stared at the collection in awe, then grabbed a blaster at random and walked away with it hugged to her ample chest. The blonde went next, passing over several shiny flintlocks to choose an older weapon, massive and thick, almost Parkerized by age.
You, got a name?
Abigail.
She cocked back the hammer and dry-fired the blaster. The heavy hammer slammed down, the piece of flint scraping the steel spur and spraying sparks into the pan where the black powder should have been.
Why'd you choose that one?
The rest have been repaired. This is the only reliable piece. But then, these are the leftovers. Your real crew took the choice blasters first. Which is fair. How do you know we wouldn't shoot off a tit and then faint?
Know what a bosun is, Abigail?
Yes, sir.
Good, because you're in charge of these newbies. One of them falls off the ship and drowns, gets tangled in the rigging and hangs, it's your fault. Get me?
Aye, aye, sir.
So take charge, bosun.
Abigail stepped behind the table and waved the buxom Susie over.
Let me see your hands, Susie. Ah, too small. Take this pocket blaster. Gonna have to make your own bullets. Know how to do that?
Yes, ma'am. I did that for my brother, a sec man.
Good enough. Then show the others who don't. Next!
In a few minutes, the women were armed and trundling down the starboard that led into the ship's interior. The quartermaster put the last few blasters into a wooden box, each separated by a layer of cloth, and carried his burden back to the ship's armory.
Good job, bosun. Wife of a sec man. Sister, maybe.
Close enough. My father built the wall for Baron Langford.
Old Stoney, you're his spawn. Then you should know blasters. He was the best gunsmith Cold Harbor ever had.
So they say.
Better be telling the truth. Lie to me and you'll get 10 lashes. Just like any other member of the crew. Remember that.
Fair enough, Captain. And if anybody bothers my girls, I'll blow their balls off.
Threatening the captain?
Sure.
You're a kin of stone, all right. You'll do fine. Should have taken you on his crew years ago.
Abigail turned and started toward the hatch after the women. For some reason, she caught herself putting a bit more hip movement into her walk than usual.
Aye. Mighty fine. What the?
A pale, sweaty man stumbled into view, holding a wet cloth to his shoulder. He walked over to O'Malley and displayed his fresh wound.
Let's see it. Nuke me. Looks like a bullet wound. Nobody could ever tell you got branded there. It's all lopsided and 4 times too big.
That's the idea.
Mildred emerged from the open doorway with a red-hot poker in her hand. A leather apron covered her from neck to knees.
Come on, you're the last. It doesn't hurt as bad as it looks.
Oh, yes, it does. But better than steel around your ankles.
On the wind-blown crest of a sandy atoll, 2 men stayed low in the middle of a clump of dying bushes. Once a week, they dragged more shrubbery to the top of the atoll, and even watered it from canteens, but the shrubs wouldn't take root in the bare sand and grow. This was the best spot in 100 miles, but they needed the coverage to do their job.
Hey, looky there!
The older man adjusted the focus on his broken half of a binoc.
Where?
East by nor'east, boy. Here, look!
He offered the broken optical to his younger partner. The young man scanned for a while, then beamed a wide smile.
Well, fuck me twice. It's the Constellation. Been missing for a month. What do you think?
She's damaged. And that's Greenwood on the starboard side.
She's been damaged and repaired.
Aye?
He swept the decks of the distant vessel. For an unnerving moment, a woman with red hair seemed to stare right back at him, but then she turned and continued to talk with some big stud with only one eyeball.
Not many crews showing. Must have been a bad fight.
Riding low, too. Hold is full of something.
Ain't listing from water in the bilge. Heading south for Homeport.
Then she's coming back from visiting the Lord Baron.
The older man stood, not caring if the crew of the damaged ship saw him now.
Aye. Coming back from Maturoville with a full load of black powder. What else can you trade for there?
Enough ammo for a fleet of ships. Let's take her.
Aye, lad. We will. Let's go!
Kicking the dying bushes aside, the older man started down the sloped side of the mushroom-shaped atoll, sliding down the sand on the seat of his patched pants until dropping off the edge into the sea.